love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, 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 what a massive, massive day yesterday was. Yesterday could be one of those significant days, one of those seminal moments in the transfer race. I think that it's an absolutely massive day for everything that Tottenham are trying to achieve and everything that Arsenal are trying to achieve. And again, it does show us the natural hierarchy of the Premier League. It really is huge. I cannot believe what we saw. It was about as significant as anything could be. I mean, Eberechi Eze was destined for Tottenham. He was gone to Tottenham. He was in the bag for Tottenham. And somehow they have fumbled it. Somehow they have made a pig's ear of it. And it is a travesty for what they are trying to achieve. It is an embarrassment for what they are trying to achieve. For Arsenal, it must quite simply feel glorious. Arsenal have signed one of the most prodigious and exciting players in Premier League football currently. Genuinely, let me ask you this question. Who's your favourite player to watch? Like, try and remove all tribalism, all bias. Who is the player that inspires you the most? Who do you believe is the most easy on the eye, the most exciting, the most entertaining, the best footballer to watch? In my opinion, the answer is Cole Palmer. The second best player to watch in the Premier League is undoubtedly Eberechi Eze. Eberechi Eze, in full flow, is one of the most glorious sights in Premier League football. It's one of the most glorious sights, in fact, in world football. When Eberechi Eze picks up the ball, gets moving, moves at pace, moves like lightning, the way that he drops a shoulder, the way that he can use the ball, the way that he's so proven, ready to launch himself into the biggest stage, because that's what Arsenal have signed. And do you know what? You have to give so much credit to the Arsenal board. You have to give so much credit to the ambition being demonstrated by Arsenal. What they have done is so significant, because they have gone out and they have signed a 27-year-old, a player who is ready, a player who is ready for the here and now, a player who is proven beyond any measure of any doubt. There is literally no jeopardy around a player like Eberechi Eze doing it and doing it well at Arsenal. He will succeed at Arsenal. You know, like, you know, with Gyökeres, whether you think he'll succeed or not, we don't know. There is always a chance that he won't. You know, with a player like Gyökeres, Zubimendi, there is always a chance that it will go their way. And I'm inclined to believe, particularly with Zubimendi, that it will go his way. But there's an element of jeopardy. Nobody really knows. You don't know until you know. That is so not the case with regard to what Eberechi Eze is going to bring to this Arsenal team. Like, Eberechi Eze is about as close to being a guarantee as you can possibly find. He is undoubtedly going to succeed. He is undoubtedly an excellent Premier League player. And the significance of a move like this, the significance of a manoeuvre like this, I mean, it's quite frankly worth its weight in gold. I feel like it's a needle mover. You know, with regard to Arsenal's ambition of winning the league, Arsenal's ambition of actually getting something over the line and winning a league title, this is the kind of signing that does it. Whether they win the league or not, this is the kind of aspirational signing that potentially takes Arsenal to a Premier League title. You know, all of the nonsense that we've seen Arsenal do in the transfer window over recent years. You know, I was very cynical about when they decided to sign Kai Havertz. I was very cynical about when they decided to sign Noni Madueke. Because I don't believe that those signings are needle movers. I don't believe that any of those players that I was mentioning there actually change the dynamic of Arsenal. I don't even believe that Noni Madueke elevates Arsenal. I really don't. This is different. A 27-year-old who won Crystal Palace and FA Cup, a lifelong Arsenal fan, an intelligent, erudite human. Like, have you ever listened to Eberiche as they speak? Have you ever followed his journey? He isn't a typical footballer. You know when most footballers are dopes and dunces and they're off at one of those like beach clubs in Marbella or whatever it is, right? One of those beach clubs in Ibiza, sitting there with a load of dopes, like bringing out those like words written, the champion, and you've got all these girls in bikini. Like, Eberiche Eze ain't part of that dopey crowd. He's not into that. Eberiche Eze is clever, switched on, intelligent. Like, he is going to chime with Mikel Arteta. Like, do you know what Eberiche Eze did in the summer? Listen to this. This is madness. Do you know what Eberiche Eze was doing when all of the dunce footballers were in Magaluf? He was winning a chess tournament. He loves to play chess. He decided to compete at the very top. He decided to test himself against the best chess players in the country and the world, in fact, in an international tournament. And he won it. 25 grand he won. He actually won it. So signing a player like Eberiche Eze, I think it's the needle mover. I didn't believe that Arsenal were going to win the league. I didn't think that they were favourites for the league. I've predicted them to win the league in the last three seasons and they finished second. This year, I felt like Liverpool had just got too strong and I felt like Arsenal's manoeuvring in the transfer window wasn't strong enough. Liverpool won the league by, 10 points last season? They were 10 points clear last season. And I didn't believe that the work that was done by Arsenal in the transfer market was enough to equalise those 10 points and take it beyond. You then look at the work that Liverpool did in the transfer window. They were already the best team. They improved better than anybody. They made marquee signings. It felt to me that Arsenal had regressed. This changes everything. This absolutely changes everything because think of the impact on the team. Think of the player that Bukayo Saka is. And by the way, if you don't believe that Bukayo Saka is a world-class player, I can't talk to you. I mean that with all due respect. I appreciate that football's about opinions and whatever else. But if you honestly do not believe that Bukayo Saka is a genuinely world-class player, then I basically don't know what to say to you. But after that compliment that I've given to Arsenal there, I would probably stop with regard to the attacking options of labelling anyone else in the Arsenal front line world-class. I think that Eberiche Eze is a potentially world-class player. And suddenly, think of the player that Bukayo Saka is when every single defence focuses on him. Every single defence doubles up on him. Every single opposition manager tells their team, watch Saka, focus on Saka, double up on Saka, nullify Saka. It makes Saka's life very difficult. Suddenly, it isn't that. Suddenly, you cannot simply focus on nullifying Saka because Eberiche Eze is in the team. Eberiche Eze is probably in the other wing. Do you think that's right? Is that where he's going to play? Like, the other impact that Eberiche Eze could have to this Arsenal team, it's actually huge. Because Martin Odegaard's a wonderful player. And you know that clip pass that he played through against Manchester United the other day? Played a clip pass through to Saka, in fact, and it was ended up, I think, De Ligt deflected it over for a corner. When he's on form, Martin Odegaard, he's a wonderful player. A brilliant player. One of the best in his position in the world. When he's on form. But when his form dips, Arsenal didn't really have anybody to rival him for the position. Arsenal didn't really have anybody to inspire him to play well every week because his position in the team was basically guaranteed. You know, over the years, they've had other players that can kind of play that creative role, but you're looking at, like, I don't know, Fabio Vieira. It's not inspiring. Suddenly, Martin Odegaard knows if he doesn't play well, he will be out of the team because Eberiche Eze is totally capable of playing at a number 10. And I think that you could almost say that who's a better player right now? Let me go into the chat, see what you're saying. Who's a better player right now, number 10? Eberiche Eze or Martin Odegaard? I think there's a Rizla paper between these two. Like, I don't think that it's obviously anyone. But let us go into the chat now and see what you're saying. Do you believe, just write, Odegaard? Or do you believe that it is Eberiche Eze? I'm inclined to say that Eberiche Eze is a better player than Martin Odegaard already. I don't think there's much in it, and I think that the world that Mikel Arteta will want to live in is the pair of them in the same team, playing off one another. Look, I'm going to do a poll. The poll is up. Who do you believe? Who do you believe is the better player here? Like, I am inclined to say that Eberiche Eze is already a better player. I think that Eberiche Eze is more proven. I think he's definitely more of a big game player. Eberiche Eze all day long. Eberiche Eze. Eberechi, Eze greater than Odegaard. Eze is good. He also has that physical presence. Eze has a better mentality. Odegaard and Eze and apples and oranges. I mean, that's not true. They're very comparable footballers. They have a very similar responsibility in the team. And of course, they go about it in a different way. But obviously, there is an overlap in terms of the way that they approach the game. I think that it's universal here. Not quite unanimous, but universal victory. Eberechi Eze securing 63% of the vote. 63% of the vote has gone to Eberechi Eze. Eberechi Eze is a better player. So think about what that should do now to the Arsenal front line. Think about the elevation that that should deliver to the Arsenal front line. Because Bukayo Saka is untouchable. So Bukayo Saka does what he does. Eberechi Eze and Martin Odegaard linking up all behind Victor Gyökeres, if Victor Gyökeres is to be the player that Arsenal need him to be. That's a title-winning team. That is a team totally capable of winning a league. Because Arsenal already had the solidity of the back line. Arsenal already conceded less goals in the league last season than Liverpool. So the team that won the league, the team that were the best team in the league, the team that conceded a decent amount, but the team that ultimately won the league by, what, 10 points? The best team in the country last year, Arsenal already had a better defence than that team. So it now gets into the position where Arsenal already had a better defence. They now need to rival. They now need to do something going forward. They now need to have an impact going forward. They need to score more goals. They need to find a way, not necessarily past the Man City and the Liverpools. They were fine against them. They accrued a lot of points against their major rivals last year. They were fine in the big games. It was the other games where they let themselves down. It was the other games where teams came with a low block and a mid block, and ultimately, Arsenal didn't really have any answers. They lacked spark. They lacked ingenuity. They got desperate. They started launching it to Mikel Merino. They started trying to win throw-ins, trying to win corners, because they didn't have enough unpredictable, creative spark. If you were to describe as a unpredictable, creative spark, isn't that who Eberechi Eze is? That is almost exactly what Eberechi Eze represents. That is who Eberechi Eze is, isn't it? Like, Eberechi Eze is a creative spark. And the fact that he is now at Arsenal, and the nature of him landing at Arsenal, I think these things are very significant as well. You know, when you sign a player and effectively get one over on someone else, like, the player is already coming in with a hero's welcome. The player is already an icon. The player already matters so much. You already adore the player purely because of the connection that you have and the way that he landed at your club. So I think that he's already going to arrive to a hero's welcome. It's a statement signing for Arsenal, because do you know what Arsenal did? And it's so important to do this. And, you know, Arsenal have done it here. Liverpool have done it massively. You have to throw your weight around. You have to throw your might around. Arsenal are a bigger club than Tottenham. Arsenal are a more successful club than Tottenham. Arsenal are a more rich club than Tottenham. Arsenal have a better history than Tottenham. Arsenal are a more significant club than Tottenham. And sometimes what you have to do is remind everybody of the food chain. And Arsenal have basically gone and done that. Eberechi Eze was a Tottenham player. Like, it was done. Tottenham were so confident that they'd got this over the line. And they have fumbled it. It was a tap-in. It was a tap-in at the back post. Lionel Messi had jinked round everybody and given you a tap-in at the back post. And you have fumbled it. It's Ronnie Rosenthal hitting the bar at Anfield. It's one of the biggest. It's Fernando Torres going round David De Gea in front of the Stretford end and somehow missing. It is one of the most glaring misses that has happened. And I've been very complimentary about Tottenham of late. But how they have managed to fumble this, I really do not know. It's an appalling piece of conduct from them. If you think about quite how they have gone about their business, they were in a one-horse race. Like, when was James Maddison injured? How long ago? 3 weeks? That news came out 3 weeks ago? So they've known that they were without Maddison for about 3 weeks. When did they realise that they weren't going to sign Morgan Gibbs-White? Probably another, 2 weeks before that? Maybe we'll call it a month ago, Gibbs-White, and we'll call it 3 weeks ago. So 20 days and 35 days. They knew they weren't going to get Gibbs-White 35 days ago. They knew that they weren't going to get James Maddison 25 days ago. They've had 25 days head start to sign a player. A player that Arsenal didn't want. A player that Arsenal deemed surplus to requirements. A player that Arsenal, wrongly in my opinion, but a player that Arsenal had decided they weren't necessarily even going in for. And they've lost it. They have lost out on the player in these circumstances. And I am afraid that that is the very definition of Spursyism. Whatever the ideology of Spursyism actually is, whatever the ideology of Spursyism actually represents, this is it. This is it. You know when they finished third in a two-horse race? They finished second here when they were the only team going for the player. It was a one-horse race. Eberich Eze was only going to Tottenham. Tottenham were the only team that was seriously pursuing Eberich Eze, wrongly. But the facts of the matter are that Tottenham were the only team that were pursuing Eberich Eze. And somehow they have fumbled it. And not only have they fumbled it, they have fumbled it too. Their biggest rival. And it is such...
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1 cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Such a bitter blow for Tottenham, but such an amazing... It's like a double-edged sword. It's as good for Arsenal as it is bad for Tottenham. The statement, the lift that the Emirates will have. Imagine when Eberich Eze is announced at Arsenal. Imagine when the PA announcer reads out Eberich Eze and he walks out and he does his thing around the Emirates. Imagine the buzz. Imagine the songs about Tottenham. Like we sung about Willian turning down Tottenham. We sung about it for 15 years. Still sing about it now. Like Willian was a Tottenham player. It was in the bag. He had signed for Tottenham. We made it our thing. Every time we would sing about Willian, we would sing that he hates Tottenham. We would sing that they got him over. They paid for his flight. He was a Tottenham player and Willian chose Chelsea. Willian saw the light. The song goes, Willian saw the light. We had 20 years out of that. Like, we will sing about that for another decade, another two decades. I imagine my grandchildren will be singing about that. And now Eberich Eze, in a more significant way, because he's a Londoner, because he knows that, like, on some level, you could maybe rationalise that Willian, when we used to sing Willian hates Tottenham, he probably didn't hate Tottenham. He probably hated, I don't know, Gremio or someone. Whereas Eberich Eze probably actually does. He actually does hate Tottenham. And he has decided to not sign for Tottenham. And, I mean, it's appalling. But Arsenal, got to give him a lot of credit here. You know, that injury to Kai Havertz, it prompted a decision and they have acted decisively. You know, and I think that people are being crazy. Like, people keep saying, oh, you know, I've seen it even from a Palace perspective. Something along the lines of, you know, we've managed to get 60 million quid for a 27-year-old. Yeah, like, you've got good service out of Eberich Eze, no doubt. He's won you your first piece of silverware. But Arsenal haven't overpaid here. And this whole idea, I just don't understand where it comes from. You know, this whole idea where you need to have, like, sell-on value. It's utter nonsense. Like, you do not need sell-on value. Like, if you sign a player who is ready for the here and now, if you sign a player who is truly elite, who can win you a league title, even if they leave on a free, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Let me dive into the chat here and see what you're saying. Can I ask you a massive favour? Thank you, by the way, for finding the time to join me on a very, very early Thursday morning. But I would love it if we could spread the word here. Would you do me a massive favour and like this stream? If we could nudge this stream to, I don't know, 200 likes, that would really help me out. And by the way, if you are new around here, click subscribe. I'm going to be going live a lot and we have a lot to talk about because it is all massively happening. But ultimately, Arsenal signed a player that is the needle mover. The game changer, the difference maker. That is what Arsenal have done here. This is bad news if you're a Liverpool fan. Bad news if you're a Man City fan. Bad news if you're a Chelsea fan. And horrific news if you are a Tottenham fan. Like, the way that Arsenal have got this done. I mean, he was a Tottenham player. He had left Palace. He had gone to Tottenham. It was in the bag for Tottenham. Tottenham had agreed to Palace's terms for the deal. It was all just resting on Eze's shoulders. And Tottenham dilly-dallied. Get it done. There was nobody else in the race. Get it done. Why was Eze not a Tottenham player last week? Way before Kai Havertz's injury. Way before that. How did they not get that done then? Really doesn't make any sense to me. And Arsenal deserve a lot of credit, you know. Because they found the money. They've got the money. They've acted really, really aggressively in the market. And ultimately, Andrea Berta has done a great job here. Like, it was, I imagine it wasn't a hard job to do, because Eberechi Eze's preference was to always join Arsenal. It's a club that he openly loved. He already had a strong affinity with them. And I guess if you have a strong affinity with Arsenal, Tottenham are not going to be your preferred option. And Tottenham seem to believe that they've done everything that they possibly can to get this in the bag. I just... I'm not sure that that can be the case. I'm just not sure that that can be the case. Tottenham are saying, we did everything that we could. There was nothing more that we could do. Sign him last week. Sign him the day that James Maddison gets injured. In the way that Arsenal signed Eberechi Eze within the 24 hours that Kai Havertz got injured. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. And it's appalling. And Tottenham, it felt like things were going well for them. It felt like everything was going well for them. In fact, it felt like there was a new era of Tottenham. It really did feel that way to me. I don't know if you would agree, but there was a time where I thought Tottenham were not a serious football club. I mean, for 20 years, it really did feel like they were not a serious football club. But all of a sudden, they won in Europe. They won in Bilbao. They beat the great Manchester United in Bilbao. They got Thomas Frank in, correct decision. They got rid of Postecoglou, correct decision. They signed Mohamed Kudus, excellent decision. They signed Paulinho, excellent decision. They nearly signed Gibbs-White, and it wasn't their fault they didn't. Excellent decision. The Frank signing, again, got to acknowledge quite what a good appointment that is. Excellent manager, Thomas Frank. Proven, safe, stable, exactly what Tottenham need. And now this. They're completely back to square one. I mean, their first super chat of the day has landed, by the way, from Guna Carlos, who says, Saka is a real winner. No more double defending. I mean, you're correct. I think that we will see the elevation of Bukayo Saka, undoubtedly. We will see the elevation of Bukayo Saka, undoubtedly. Like, I think that he's already ridiculously underrated. I think that he is already, like, embarrassingly underrated. I think that he is already... I don't think that it's universally agreed that Bukayo Saka is world class. Which it should be. Like, Bukayo Saka is undoubtedly world-class. And I don't think that people necessarily acknowledge quite how brilliant and consistent and good he is. But just wait this year. Like, you will see it now this year. You really will see it this year. Because him linking up... Like, that trio of Eze, Odegaard, Saka, if Gyökeres is the man, could easily win you a title. It's easily capable of winning a title. I don't think it's a guarantee for the league, primarily because of quite how well everybody else is doing. Manchester City looked reinvented. Reinders looked like... I mean, you know, I was always of the opinion that replacing Kevin De Bruyne was going to be impossible. And then you see Reinders land. You see Reinders dictate the play. You see Reinders' vision. You see his ability to finish. And you suddenly go, wow. Wow. So they wouldn't be my favourites for the title, but would they be yours? In terms of your favourites now for the league, who do you believe is going to win the league? Do you think now Arsenal are favourites for the league title? I think this signing changes Arsenal from potential winners to serious, serious contenders. That is what I would say this signing does. I think it changes them to serious contenders. Are they going to do it? It's going to be tough. There's going to be loads of twists and turns to come. It's not going to be easy. We know quite how difficult it is, and we also know quite how brilliant Liverpool are. But you know what I think is going to happen this season now? Because of the true brilliance of Arsenal, because of the true brilliance of Man City and Guardiola, and because of the reigning champions who have got stronger than ever before, this is going to be a season. We've already seen the relegated clubs do the business. The promoted clubs. We've already seen them do the business. We've already seen Leeds United do more than Ipswich did at all last year. We've already seen Sunderland. Like the promoted teams this year have already been so much more inspiring. Like, Sunderland are already better than Southampton. They're already more impressive than Southampton. They already deserve more respect than Southampton. One game in. They're already that significant. And you think about the strength at the top. You think about the power of the promoted teams. This could be a historic season, you know. This could be something spectacular. This could be a 3, maybe 4-horse title race. And I think that the teams that really go for the league, I'll tell you this, the eventual winners of the league will have accrued, the eventual winners of the league will have accrued in excess of 95 points. It's a minimum to win the league of 95 points. I've just seen, by the way, that 48% think Arsenal are now title favourites. 48% think Arsenal are title favourites. So just under half. That's kind of where I have them. I have them just a smidge. I have them in second. A smidge behind Liverpool 52. I think I've kind of got that split. Back into the Super Chat, and it's Caligula says, sorry for being off topic, but this is the biggest gap between the top four and the rest of the league. It seems Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea and City have the top four spots pretty much secured. Yeah, do you know what? I think it's interesting you say that, because I think you're right. Because do you know what we saw this year? We saw, you know the brilliance that we've seen from the mid-table teams, the Brightons, the Brentfords and whatever else. That's now going to be very tough, because if you look at what the top clubs have done to those mid-clubs, we've purged them. Manchester United have gone in for Mbeumo. Manchester United have gone in for Cunha. We've taken their best. Manchester City have gone in for Ait Nouri, taken their best. Chelsea have gone in for Liam Delap. Chelsea have gone in for João Pedro, like, taken their best. Milos Kerkez, Liverpool have gone in for Bournemouth's best. And you have seen time and time again now that the teams that were doing well in that mid-period are now really going to struggle, because the top five, and if you include Newcastle as well, Newcastle kind of raiding Villa, raiding Brentford, the top five and Newcastle are kind of plundering the mid-teams, aren't they? Look at the transfer activity of all the top teams. So look at Arsenal have signed Eze. There's a great example. Arsenal signed Eze, taken their best. FA Cup winners in Europe, taken their best. Tottenham did their best to take Gibbs White, Champions League team, take Gibbs White. Newcastle, going to take Visser. Already raided Villa. Chelsea, gone into Brighton, taken João Pedro, taken their best player. And obviously the Wolves boys, Manchester United and Bournemouth, Ait Nouri going to Man City. So I do think that the stronger have got stronger. And it's very difficult for these mid-level clubs now to maintain, to go again, to reinvent. It's not easy. But as a result, I do believe that you are onto something with that Super Chat, Caligulas, that the top are looking strong. A Super Chat here from the regrettable Spurs fan. What is he going to be thinking right now? He says, is there a world where Tottenham now swoop for Vissa and add to Newcastle's transfer woes? I mean, I think they probably have to. I think they have to do something. They clearly have to do something. It would be absolutely hysterical if that were to happen, because I found the goings-on at Newcastle this year, like, actually hilarious. I'm getting so much stick from Newcastle fans. Like, I really would love that to happen. I really would love Tottenham to now go and get Yoann Wissa. That would be absolutely hilarious. But I don't even think that that can help. I don't even think that that can really help Tottenham in their like terrible situation. Like, nothing is gonna fix this for Tottenham. Like, even if they go and sign Vissa, this is still a terrible day for them, and it is still a momentous day, a huge day, an exciting day for Arsenal, because it's one of those days where things change. You know, when you get those moments in the league, and look at what it's done to Tottenham. Everything felt like it was going so well. The signing of Kudus, the signing of Paulinho, The new contract for Romero, obviously missing out on Gibbs White, but Eze would kind of make up for that. And now look at what's happened. Back to square one. I think that Weren't they? Do you know the other thing that Tottenham have done? Didn't they talk about Richarlison leaving? So not only have they kind of not got the player, but they've actually kind of indicated to the player that they do have that they were ready to let him go to Palace to free up the funds. But do you know what? I'm now thinking about it. I think that they have no choice but to go for Visser. I think that they basically have no option but to now go for Johan Visser. I just can't believe that sort of deal maker extraordinaire Daniel Levy has allowed it to come to this. Like, Daniel Levy has allowed this to happen. And I just can't believe it. It's borderline incompetence. They were literally the only team in the pursuit of Eberechi Eze. And now this has happened. Steve Holmes in the Super Chat here says, by moving so rapidly for Eze after Kai Havertz's injury, do you think that the board have all but acknowledged that Arsenal have to win something this year? Yeah, I think there is a need for Arsenal to win. I mean, it's difficult, this, isn't it, Steve? It's a great question, but the reason why it's difficult is because when I say something like this, everybody knows that I'm biased against Arsenal. I don't want Arsenal to win the league. So when I say I believe Arsenal need to win a trophy, I believe that this team, this brilliant team that they've assembled, needs a defining moment. It needs to be invincible. It needs to be Centurion. It needs to be title winners. It needs to be even a cup, just a defining moment. But as soon as I say, I feel like Arteta needs something this year. You know, 6 years in the job, it's a long time. By modern day standards, that is absolutely ages. And when I say that, Arsenal fans seem to get quite frustrated with me because they seem to think that I'm putting pressure or I'm doing my best to put pressure. And to be totally frank, I'm not. I concede that Mikel Arteta has done a wonderful job at the club. I agree that Mikel Arteta has turned Arsenal from being a joke at various points into a serious club. The only way that I can demonstrate it, the most honest answer I can give you here is, what, 3-4 months ago, I was genuinely terrified that Arsenal were going to win the European Cup. You know when Arsenal beat Real Madrid?
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, Baconate with a breakfast Baconator. Roll with the sausage breakfast burrito. Buddy it up with a honey buddy. Or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes. And then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Home and away. When Declan Rice scored those free kicks, when Bukayo Saka was dinking Thibaut Courtois in front of the Galacticos, I truly believed that year that Arsenal were going to win the European Cup. Now, I haven't truly believed that Arsenal were going to win a European Cup since about 2004, 2006. I haven't actually had any sleepless nights about Arsenal winning a European Cup for 20 years. Last year, I had them again. And that is full testament to Arsenal. That is full credit to Mikel Arteta. That is a huge statement of what Mikel Arteta has done. So I admit he's done really well. But I also have to admit that if he doesn't win again, people will start asking the questions. You will look at the money spent. You will look at the time that he's had. You will look at the amount of teams that have won the league since he did it. And you will say, maybe he's done a great job and it isn't about being sacked, but maybe they'll move him on. But equally, if he wins a league, he becomes immortal. If he wins a European Cup, they build a statue of him. So it's all there for him. And a super chat has just landed here that says, it's from Udayan. It says, how crucial could Eze be in the title race? I believe that Eze in the title race could be the difference maker. You know, when you think about critical players in a title race, who's going to win their team the league? Mohamed Salah could win his team the league. Erling Haaland could win his team the league. Bukayo Saka could win his team the league. Eberechi Eze could win his team the league. I can't say it any more glowingly than that. I put his name in the pantheon of greats that I've just said. If Man City win the league, who's played well? Haaland, Reinders, Stones. If Liverpool win the league, who's played well? Gravenberch, Van Dijk, Salah, Wirtz. If Arsenal win the league, who's played well? Raya, Gabriel, Rice, Saka, Eze. That's what it will be. If Eze has a good season, Arsenal could win the league. I think that he's a defining player. Like when Chelsea were in the league, if Drogba had a good year, we win the league. Lampard had a good year, we win the league. If Eze has a good year, I think they win the league. Caleb Morris in the Super Chat says, the only issue is Vissa isn't the same style player. I know he isn't the same style player, but you need attacking options. You need goal scoring. You need threat. You need ammunition. And Thomas Frank will know Vissa very well. He will know how to get the best out of Yoann Vissa. And I believe that now he has missed out on a player like Eberechi Eze, there is no doubt in my mind, Caleb, that Yoann Vissa, Tottenham will be going all out for Yoann Vissa, which is going to be terrible news for Newcastle United. And Newcastle are going to miss out on another player. Very, very possibly. But looking at it strictly through an Arsenal lens, I now believe that Arsenal basically couldn't do any more. You know when you've looked at various years, various transfer windows for Arsenal? I mean, this time last year, we were saying about the lack of striker. They needed a striker for such a long time. We were very snide about the Kai Havertz deal. When he went in, there were always holes in the squad. There were always areas where Arteta hadn't been backed. When you look at this team now, this Arsenal team, they've got the best keeper in the league. I think Gabriel is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. Like, I really do. I think he's so good, man. Brilliant in both boxes. Obviously, Saliba is seen as being the man. I don't like him, but I rate Ben White incredibly highly. The midfield, they've replaced the outgoing players with the likes of Zubimendi. Mikel Merino is in there to add depth. He's there as an option. He's a bit of a utility player, which is a gift for Arteta. Then they have the stardust that wins you the league. They have the spine and the stardust. That is the recipe for genuine success. That is the recipe for winning the league. So I think that this is the first time that Mikel Arteta actually has everything that he needs. I think that Mikel Arteta actually has at his disposal everything that he needs to win the league. The only thing stopping him now isn't necessarily himself, because he will accrue a very successful and respectable points tally. There's no two ways about it. There's no doubt in my mind that Mikel Arteta will take Arsenal to above 85 points. The question is, will 85 points be enough to win the league? I don't think it will, which is why there is a title race, because there are three teams all capable of accruing more than 85 points. Liverpool are obviously capable of accruing more than 85 points. Arsenal are obviously capable of accruing more than 85 points. And Manchester City are obviously capable of accruing more than 85 points. And this is why I believe that it could, you know, when they nudge each other on, like, you know, when it was Man City, Liverpool, 96, 97, 98. The reason it was 97, 98 was because they both nudged each other on. They forced each other to be better, better, win, 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 win. And I think that we could have that three ways this year. I think that we could have three teams going for the league, which means we could have three teams all getting 90 points, which means it is going to be a classic season. And I'm already buzzing by it. I'm already excited by it. You already look at what's going on. You already look at the way that the table is forming. You already look at the promoted teams. So I am incredibly, incredibly excited by this season. Caligula's is back in the Super Chat and has said, it seems Arsenal have an offer of 80 million for Martinelli from Saudi Arabia. If they cash in and buy Rodrigo with that money, it will be a great title race. Caligula's, it sounds greedy. Sounds very greedy. Look, don't get me wrong. I think undoubtedly that there is a world where there is undoubtedly a world where you need Rodrigo. You need Rodrigo in the way that everybody needs Rodrigo. But I think that Arsenal are capable of winning a league with or without Rodrigo. Like, Rodrigo possibly changes everything. Rodrigo has the ability to make you favourites. Rodrigo coming into Arsenal could actually elevate you to a totally different level, totally different paradigm. Because not only does he come in as a wonderful player, but he comes in as a true proven winner. Can I ask you a massive favour, by the way? We need to talk about Rodrigo more, but before we do, if you haven't liked this stream, will you please do me a favour and like it? Really helps me out. And if you would be kind enough now, we might be able to nudge it over 500 likes. If 150 of you or so would like that stream, it would really, really help me out. Thank you very much. But back to Rodrigo. The one thing that this Arsenal team are potentially lacking is winning know-how, the nous that comes from winning. And I think you could say that maybe the club don't really know enough about winning. The club historically do. Look, I know, you know, Charlie George knows how to win at Arsenal. Herbert Chapman knows how to win at Arsenal. Dennis Bergkamp knows how to win at Arsenal. Robert Pires knows how to win at Arsenal. David O'Leary knows how to win at Arsenal. Liam Brady knows how to win at Arsenal. But Bukayo Saka, brilliant player, doesn't. Declan Rice doesn't. William Saliba doesn't. Rodrigo coming in. Rodrigo, you know when Arsenal play Paris Saint-Germain got done away from home? I think you have a player like Rodrigo in the team, Caligula's, right? I think that you have a player like Rodrigo in the team and you don't lose. Because Rodrigo in the dressing room, you're not going to be bothered. You're not going to find that intense. Rodrigo has scored one of the best goals I've ever seen in a Real Madrid shirt against Atletico Madrid. Like, he's not going to be bothered. He's played at the Wanda Metropolitano in a Real Madrid shirt. He's scored at the Wanda Metropolitano in a Real Madrid shirt. Do you think he's bothered about going to Paris Saint-Germain? Do you know, if Arsenal have like intense away games, do you think he's ever going to be bothered? Absolutely not. Like, I really don't see that as being a problem for Rodrigo. So you sign a player like him, not only are you getting a wicked footballer who's going to score brilliant goals and loads of them, not only are you bringing in somebody to elevate the front options, not only are you bringing in everything that you get on the pitch with Rodrigo, a two-time European Cup winner, you're not only getting that, you're getting the player who knows how to win titles. You're getting a player who knows what it's about to win league titles. And I think that having players in the dressing room like that really can be worth its weight in gold. Caleb Morris is back in the Super Chat and has said, do you think I could be worth taking a chance? It could be worth taking a chance on Harvey Elliott. For Arsenal, no. Listen, I think Harvey Elliott is a wonderful footballer. I really do. I think he's a brilliant little player. I think he's excellent. Look what he did for England. Look at the big goals he scored for Liverpool. He's so young. Feels like we've known about him for like a decade, doesn't it? Like he was at... Caleb, you're a Tottenham fan, aren't you? Yeah, Tottenham should sign Harvey Elliott. Yeah, of course you should. It's not even a debate. Harvey Elliott, a wonderful player that would elevate Tottenham in the way that, you know what I was just saying about Rodrigo to Arsenal? Harvey Elliott would bring that winning culture to Tottenham. He knows how to win. He knows what it's about. He's been surrounded by winners for half his life. He knows what it's about to succeed. He knows the dedication that Mohamed Salah puts in to be the best in the world. And he will take that intuition and that knowledge with him to White Hart Lane. So yes, to answer your question, Caleb Morris, of course I believe that Tottenham should be going all out for a player like Harvey Elliott. I feel like I'm in the minority a bit with Elliott because I just think he's wicked. Like every time I watch him play, he's brilliant. I'm being really serious. You know, sometimes I know that that's not representative, but you're watching Liverpool play away from home in Paris. They bring on Harvey Elliott and you're like, okay, we'll see what happens. Bang, goal. Wicked goal as well. Just delicately rolls the ball into the far corner past Donnarumma. Like Donnarumma's like an albatross, man. You can't get a ball past him. Harvey Elliott, ping. He's watching England. I was in Slovakia when England beat Germany. I couldn't get a ball off Harvey Elliott. Best player on the pitch by an absolute mile. So, yeah, I think Tottenham should be going for Harvey Elliott 100%. I think he's an excellent, excellent player. So yeah, undoubtedly they should go for him. A quick favour. Would you be kind enough to click subscribe on this YouTube channel if you haven't yet? It would be my honour to welcome you in, and I want to be going live like this loads. So please do me a favour, join us, so that when I go live, you get the bell, and you won't miss these lives. These are really good fun. I've thoroughly enjoyed doing them. But yeah, of course you should. Udayan is in the Super Chat and has said, what if Arsenal sign Lookman or Fofana? Title done. Do you know, I don't think you need it. I mean, the Rodrigo one, I think you would say title done. And I know that there's a world where you would need Rodrigo. But I think Arsenal's front line is good enough to win the league now. I think Arsenal's back line is good enough to win the league now. They just got to get it right. And there's going to be some crucial games where Arsenal are simply going to have to get it right. It's going to be that moment. It's going to be that kind of moment where You're playing away from home at Everton and you're 1-0 down with 20 minutes to go. You need to win that game. But that's why you've got players like Saka, players like Eze, players like Odegaard. And frankly, that's what Gyökeres is bought for, isn't it? Like, isn't that the point of the battering ram goal scorer? Just somebody who can, like, put the ball in the back of the net. Sometimes, you know, like, I created a dream team recently. And I was talking, like, crazy, like, literally the best team of all time. So you could go up front, you got Marco Van Basten, George Best, Bobby Charlton in the midfield, Eusebio, like, all that, right? And do you know what my mate said to me? This is in a pub, by the way. It's a pub drunk chat, but I'm going to tell you the story anyway. Do you know what my mate said to me, which I thought was quite interesting? He basically went, the player that you should put up front in a team like that, you know, if your three supporting cast are Ronaldinho, Messi, and Cristiano Ronaldo. They're the three behind. Up front, you put someone like Alan Shearer. This is what my mate was saying. I was like, is there logic in that? Up front, you put Alan Shearer. Because basically, you don't need any creativity. You've got the most creative players who have ever lived behind you. You just put up the battering ram, goal scorer, someone that hits the ball in the back of the net, brilliant in the air, brilliant with his feet, brilliant at bringing others into play, and loves scoring goals. Scored 260 Premier League goals. And at the time, I was like, nah, you don't put Shearer in a team like that. And then I kind of thought, maybe you do. This isn't dissimilar, right? You look at Arsenal's three creatives, Saka, Eze, Odegaard. If Gyökeres does his job, which is, what's the record? 98 goals in 102 games in the Portuguese league. If he does his job, the job that he did for Sporting Lisbon, Arsenal win the league. With or without Rodrigo. With or without Lookman. With or without Fofana Udayan. Jinx Motley in the Super Chat here says, even with Havertz's injury, I believe he'll still play more games than Gyökeres. Gyökeres and Zubimendi aren't up to speed on how to press. Really early days, Jinx. Really, like, really early days. So I would say no judgments yet. But from what we've seen, I think Zubimendi is undoubtedly going to be fine. There is no doubt in my mind that Zubimendi will be fine. I think he's a very good player. One of the best in his position in the world. One of the best in his position. Like, Arsenal went into La Liga and signed the best player in his position. Second best player at what he does to Rodri. So I think he's going to be fine. I agree with you. Gyökeres did not look good. But I'd also believe that we can't judge yet. Like, it was the wasteful passing that's you know, no shots on goal, 22 touches overall. It wasn't good enough, was it? But it's ridiculously early days. He's played at one of the most tricky grounds in the league. Like, he won't go to a div. The hardest away game for Gyökeres this season, ranking them, will be the hardest away grounds for Gyökeres to play in. Man City, Liverpool, in no particular order. Man City, Liverpool, Stamford Bridge, Tottenham, Man United. So he's got, like, it's in the top 10, 15, 20% of away games that he will face. And he's got it out of the way. And yet it didn't go well. But Jinx, I think that we have to be fairly supportive in terms of, like, just giving him time. Because I haven't seen enough to say that he'll succeed. But I think it's far too early to say that he'll fail. We shall see, though. We shall see. And it'll be interesting to see if you think that, like, you still think that with Havertz there, with Havertz injured, he'll still feature more. Yeah, very, very interesting. Caleb Morris in the chat says, I'm a Liverpool fan, which is why I'm surprised he isn't in the mix for Tottenham after missing out on Eze. I think he's a proper talent. Yeah, Caleb, there is no doubt in my mind that Harvey Elliott should be going to Tottenham. I think he's a brilliant player and he should be playing in the Champions League. He's a little bit unfortunate, Harvey Elliott, because he basically is good enough to play for every single team in the Premier League apart from the one he's at and the two others that wouldn't sign him. But he starts for basically every other team in the league. You know, he's if he wasn't playing for Liverpool, he would be playing as one of the front three for basically everyone else. Obviously starts for Newcastle, who got into the Champions League. I think he gets in the Villa team, obviously. I think he probably gets in the Chelsea team. Certainly would compete for the Chelsea team. I think he gets in gets in basically every team in the league, with the exception of the team that he's at. Wouldn't get in the Arsenal team, wouldn't get in the Liverpool team, probably wouldn't get in the City team, but might. You know, I think Harvey Elliott's at the very least as good as Jeremy Doku, don't you? At the very least as good as Jeremy Doku. So I actually believe that he's an excellent player. I really do. And I'd be quite surprised if he doesn't go to a team that are competing in the Champions League. But this has been emotional. Before you go, could you do me a massive favour? Like this stream. And if you've had any good time at all, if you've enjoyed even a little bit of it, why don't you click subscribe? It would be my honour to welcome you to this community. Go on, drop us a sub. Thank you very much. Big, big day for Arsenal. Arsenal doing what they did, getting Eberechi Eze over the line. It's a bitter blow for Tottenham. And I am virtually 100% sure that that makes the signing a brilliant signing in its own right. But it makes it even more sweet for the Arsenal faithful. If you've got a ticket for the day that Eberechi Eze is announced at Arsenal, what a noise that is going to be over at Ashburton Grove. Thank you so much for watching. Really, really enjoyed it. Appreciate your support. Appreciate you tuning in. Might even go live a little bit later, so make sure you click subscribe so that you get the ding-dong bell when it happens. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I look forward to speaking to you all in a little while. Ta-da!
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.